Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
California Queen quickens. They go inside the 3/8. Challenged now by Muta Makina on the outside, lying in third, Family Way. And as they turn for home, Wally X right behind them, out wide at Great Island, and a rails run to Key Flower. California Queen narrowly from Muta Makina, Wally X, and down the outside, Family Way. Key Flower's up the rails. Muta Makina, California Queen, Wally X, and trying to run home is Key Flower on the inside, and behind them, Great Island and the Dragon T. Muta Makina in front. Muta Makina from California Queen. La Dragon T flying. La Dragon T coming. Muta Makina. Muta Makina's won it. Muta Makina from La Dragon T. California Queen is third. Behind them on the inside was Key Flower with Wally X and Great Island.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. On the Horse Racing Radio Network, we've got 14 big stakes from around North America to get to this weekend, including the next race for Muta Makina. That was the call of her winning the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor last month up at Woodbine. She's going to be a major player tomorrow in the Grade 3 Long Island at Aqueduct, one of four stakes on the Saturday Aqueduct card. Bob, another great Thanksgiving weekend of racing. How was your holiday, my friend?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Everything was very mellow here, and we still have a massive amount of food around the house. Not that many people came over, so no, everything's great. Pretty excited about the lineup this weekend in horse racing. I mean, just amazing. Aqueduct race 7 through 10 is four really good stakes races.
Yeah, great stakes both Saturday and Sunday at Aqueduct, four on Saturday, three on Sunday. It's closing weekend out at Del Mar. It's closing weekend at Churchill Downs. And all three of those stalwarts have major stakes throughout the weekend. So let's dive right into it. By the way, this Thanksgiving weekend, Naira Betts is serving up bonuses for all the best fall and winter horse racing. Action awaits at tracks like Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, Aqueduct, and many more. With Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use promo code HRRN200 and get in the action today. And be sure to tune into America's Day at the Races, running on FS2 every afternoon through the weekend. In fact, the schedule this weekend, they're on FS2 11:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. And then they ping pong between FS1 and FS2 on Sunday. 11:30 a.m. to noon on FS1, noon to 4 on FS2, then back over to FS1 from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. Okay, as Bob referenced, there are four big stakes on the Saturday Aqueduct program, and they make up an all-stakes pick for races 7 through 10 tomorrow. And race 7 is the $100,000 Central Park Stakes for two-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the turf. By the way, on Friday, there were actually a few races taken off the turf at Aqueduct. Most of them stayed on, and the turf was good on Friday. So hopefully things will dry off more, and we'll get back to more firm/good conditions on Saturday. But this seventh race, Bob, once again, a mile and a 16th on the turf. Nice field of eight set to go to post here. And the morning line favorite is number one, General Ken, for Chad Brown and Dylan Davis.
Yeah. One of the recurring themes of this weekend with a lot of these stakes races is rematches. And if you look at the one horse here, General Ken, and the two, Gino, they faced each other last time, and Gino led every step of the way until the last jump. Obviously, in several of these situations throughout the course of the weekend, including this one, you want to review the replay. To me, General Ken, very interesting story. A horse that was purchased as a two-year-old for $20,000 for connections I'm unaware of. He was trained first out by a gentleman named Jose Ramirez at Delaware, and he blew apart a group of maidens and subsequently was purchased by his current owners and moved to Chad Brown. He was really visually impressive, kind of showed a lot of tenacity in picking up Gino on the last stride. He'll be my selection here. I think I'm actually going to single him in the pick four.
All right, so Bob likes number one, General Ken, in the Central Park. I'm going to go the other direction in the second choice on the morning line, number three, Side Dog for Graham Motion and Luis Saez. Super impressive in his debut, going seven furlongs, coming from as far as 10 lengths back early on to win by four. And being by slumber out of a Scat Daddy mare, I would think that the more the distance, the better for Cy Dog. I think it was just a bonus that he ran so well and won in his debut. I look for him to improve second time out, even though he's facing tougher competition, and get back-to-back wins. Cy Dog for me, General Ken for Bob, in the Central Park Race 7 tomorrow at Aqueduct. Eighth race on the card is the $150,000 Discovery Stakes for the three-year-olds, going 1 mile and an eighth on the main track. Field of six here, Bob, and we've got a heavy favorite in number three, Speaker's Corner, at 4-5.
Yeah, one of the great fall traditions of the Aqueduct Fall Meet is the Discovery. Discovery himself was the Iron Horse of the 1930s, won the Brooklyn three times and the Whitney three times. After finishing second in the 1934 Kentucky Derby to Cavalcade, he finished his career 27-63. What an amazing horse. It's great that they still have a race named for him. I'm going to go with an Aqueduct specialist. The Wood Memorial winner this year is kind of a forgotten horse, Bourbonic, who's kind of a reliable closer. The key thing is he runs his best races at Aqueduct. He's got to beat the 4-5 favorite trained by Bill Mott, Speaker's Corner. I don't know what to make of it, but Bill Mott is 0-18 at Aqueduct this meet and has 1 second. I don't know if it's worth reading too much into that, but I personally don't like that, and I'm going to go with Bourbonic for Kendrick Carmouche and Todd Pletcher.
Okay, well, we're allowed to disagree on this program.
And absolutely.
I am convinced that Bourbonic won one of the worst Wood Memorials of my betting lifetime. And I'm also convinced that he is really an allowance horse that's mired in stakes competition. I just don't think he's as good as some of these other horses. And I will be shocked if he wins another quote-unquote big stake sometime in his career. So I'm against Bourbonic with every bone in my body. That being said, I don't think that Speaker's Corner has to win this race. I think he can. I think number five, Vindictive, is very interesting. His two races at Saratoga, I think, would put him in play. I'm going to go with number six, Miles D. Loved his third-place finish behind Essential Quality and Midnight Bourbon in the Traveries. It was only behind Essential Quality by 5 lengths that day and came back and won an allowance race in his subsequent start. I think he's the one that's going the right direction. I'm going to try Miles D. in the Discovery tomorrow, race 8 at Aqueduct. Featured race on the Saturday card is the ninth race, the Grade 3 $400,000 Long Island Stakes for the fillies and mares, going the extended distance of 1.5 miles on the turf. We've got a field of eight, Bob, several different ways you can go, including the way of the E.P. Taylor winner, Muta Makina. She is the 3-1 favorite on the morning line.
Yeah, personally, I'm going to take a stand against Muta Makina. First of all, this is one of the most this is one of the really outstanding race. Very, very competitive renewal. And Aqueduct has to be really pleased with the field that they've assembled here. I'm going to focus on three horses in particular, the two Orglande, French Bread, and Luck Money, who's incredibly reliable, always seems to run a race, but light on the win end. And my selection is Sorrel. She's a improving four-year-old filly. She raced in the UK for Michael Stout, did quite well, including winning her last two races on turf at Doncaster and on the poly track at Lingfield. She's a true stayer, and I honestly think 1.375 was too short last time when she was getting to Warlike Goddess. She came out of the race, ran third in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, and Warlike Goddess would be a very short price in here, and I thought Sorrel looked good trying to run her down last time, and the extra eighth of a mile will help.
Okay, so Sorrel coming off a bit of a layoff, hasn't run since the end of March, but going for a barn that's pretty good at getting him ready off layoffs, and Christophe Clement, Sorrel, Bob's choice in the Long Island. I'm going to go with another mid-price runner in number one, Summer at Saratoga. She was actually able to beat Luck Money last time out in the Grade 3 Dowager over a good turf course over at Keeneland. I just think she's very consistent. She wins very often, 6 out of 16 starts. And she's overlooked more often than not. If you look at her win, she's won five of her. In fact, she's won six of her last 10 starts, and she was not favored in any of those races. So
pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
public doesn't like her,
and she won't be favored once again. I'm going to take her once again to run a good race and to score what seems like a mild upset in the Grade 3 Long Island Race 9 tomorrow at Aqueduct. Final stake on the Aqueduct card tomorrow is race number 10, the Aqueduct Turf Sprint Championship. Three-year-olds and up, going six furlongs. Purse here is $150,000. And a big field of 10 set to go to post, Bob. Where'd you end up?
I ended up with Arrest Me Red, the three-horse. Key race here, October 2nd at Belmont, the Belmont Turf Sprint Invitational Grade 3 race. Arrest Me Red and Pulsate battled. It always looked to me like Arrest Me Red was keeping Pulsate at bay. I think they're the two best horses in here. I think Arrest Me Red will repeat that feat.
All right, so Bob going with second choice on the morning line, number 3, Arrest Me Red. I've got a little chalk on my face here with number 7, Value Proposition, who's won back-to-back races in the Red Bank and Oyster Bay in his last two starts. One was a two-turn mile at Monmouth. One was a one-turn, seven-furlong race at Belmont Park. Now he's shortening up even more to the one-turn, six-furlong race in the Aqueduct Turf Sprint Championship. I guess that would be my only question mark for Value Proposition is whether or not he's better as a late-running sprinter or he's better as a router. He's been a good router all the way in his career, but it looks like they're kind of trying to ease him into being more of a late-running sprinter, and so far so good, and he's certainly coming into the race in good form. So Value Proposition for me, Arrest Me Red for Bob in race 10 tomorrow at Aqueduct, the Aqueduct Turf Sprint Championship, final leg of the All-Stakes Pick 4. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll head way out west, three stakes on the Saturday Del Mar card. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukie, the Grade 2 Fall City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club, and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of 20 grand. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Beyond brilliant, a length and a half off them in third. None above the laws, the gray between horses, Jungle Cry at the rail, Hudson Ridge outside of that pair. Flashiest starting to rally on the far outside. Kathkin Peak comes through as Subconscious puts away Rock Your World. Now Beyond Brilliant is coming after him. Kathkin Peak continues to make headway, one from the rail. It's Subconscious with a two-length lead close to home. And Subconscious, a clear-cut winner of the Twilight Derby under Juan Hernandez. Kathkin Peak rallied smartly for second. Then it was Beyond Brilliant, followed by Hudson Ridge.
Frank Miramati on the call of the 2021 Grade 2 Twilight Derby, won by Subconscious. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich taking you through 14 big races this weekend from around the country. Before we get back to the action, Bob, right now it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. And look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Oh, here we go. U.S. attorneys recommend 36-month sentence for Ryan. In a November 24th court filing, U.S. attorneys recommended a 36-month sentence for suspended veterinarian Dr. Christian Ryan and further described his role in a horse doping case involving involving more than two dozen individuals. The proposed length of sentencing mirrors what was outlined during Ryan's guilty plea hearing, August 3rd. The length of the sentence will ultimately be determined by U.S. District Judge Mary Kay Voskosel in another court hearing in the Southern District of New York scheduled for January 5th. According to a filed letter to Voskosel from U.S. Attorney Damian Williams, quote, Ryan actively marketed, sold, and administered SGF-1000, an alleged performance-enhancing drug, for the non-medical purpose of illicitly improving racehorse performance. That is, Ryan doped horses in an effort to scam others through a prolific fraud. Ryan, through his veterinary practice, further illegally distributed the prescription drug clenbuterol, providing it to trainers in bulk to administer to their horses without issuing valid prescriptions for that drug or otherwise administering that drug due to a medical need, unquote. During his plea change to guilty this summer, Ryan implicated trainer Jason Service, and in Williams' letter to Voskosel filed Wednesday, the attorney described some of the interactions between the veterinarian and trainer. Service has maintained a plea of not guilty, while others, such as Ryan and trainer Jorge Navarro, have changed their pleas to guilty. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through bloodhorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winners section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on equineline.com for pedigrees, race, and produce records, and much, much more. It's the new Blood Horse Plus on bloodhorse.com. Upgrade today. Now, Bob, we knew this day was going to come, and the chips are starting to fall in what really is a horrific story that's taken place over the last couple of years.
Yeah, the details get more and more grim, and the sooner the better.
The sooner the better.
Let's sort things out.
Yeah, and you know, it sounds like you know, we don't want to say for sure, but it sounds like there could be a lot more to come. So stay tuned for that. But obviously, Blood Horse covering this with fervor, as they always do, and giving us everything we need to know about what's going on in this atrocious horse doping case. Okay, we're going to fly out west for some sunshine. Del Mar, California, three stakes on the Saturday card, and the fifth race is the $250,000 Grade 2 Seabiscuit Handicap, rather. Three-year-olds and up. They're going a mile and a 16th on the turf. We've got a field of seven, Bob, and the morning line favorite is a shipper for trainer Chad Brown and number seven, Sacred Life.
Yeah, both Ortiz brothers, they show up at Del Mar on Saturday. I think that's kind of interesting. Obviously, they like the fun and the sun as well. A lot was made of Chad Brown having a frustrating Breeders' Cup. As you can see, he had no winners that weekend with 3 seconds. Last year, Sacred Life ran a really nice race in this exact event, splitting two really nice California horses, Neck Shares and River Boyne. He's got a great turn of foot. He's got the key thing here is he's got plenty of his pace to his inside. And all that, I think that Majestic Eagle will get a piece of this at a big price. He's only 3 for 32, and I really think Sacred Life will make amends.
I think Sacred Life will make amends as well. Liked his race in the Knickerbocker last time out, coming from well off of it, under Jose Ortiz, who was once again aboard this time, and also gets a turf course that more often than not is very friendly to horses who come from off the pace. And we'll see if that happens once again in the Seabiscuit Race 5 tomorrow at Del Mar, the first of three stakes on the Saturday Del Mar card. The next of the Del Mar stakes goes as race number 7. It's the Grade 3 $100,000 Jimmy Durante Stakes. These are two-year-old fillies going to go a mile on the turf. And we've got a field of 11 here, Bob, and really several ways you can go in this spot. The morning line favorite is way out on the outside, number 11, Helen's Well, for Phil D'Amato and Umberto Rispoli. And she's been running well of late, but she hasn't seen the winner's circle since she got her maiden win several months ago.
Yeah, this is a wide-open group to me. I don't make too much of the fact that the five-horse, my selection, Travel Smart, ran for a maiden 50 tag last time. She cost $57,000 as a two-year-old. They probably decided to take the risk, run her for $50,000 after she ran fifth to a highly regarded Baffert filly called Grace Adler in her first start at Del Mar. And she ran a really impressive race on the Santa Anita Turf for maiden 50, winning by a length and a quarter under Flavian Pratt, who stays on board. And he is, of course, the current king of the Del Mar Turf course. So I went with the 6-1 morning line, Peter Miller, Flavian Pratt production, Travel Smart.
Peter Miller actually going to send out several runners in this race. I believe he's got three in the race. He has number 3, Tesserae, number 5, Travel Smart, number 6, Liam's Dove. And, of course, this is one of the final days, at least for now, in the training career of Peter Miller. It was announced about a week ago by Pete Miller himself that he's taking a break. He didn't say he's quitting. He just said he's done for a while, and we don't know what time frame that is, if he'll come back, and if so, when that will be. But it sounds like November 29th is going to be his final day as a trainer, which, of course, is this coming Monday, and looking to go out with a bang, as it were, with several runners all weekend at Del Mar. I also like Peter Miller to win this race, but not with number 5, Travel Smart. I went to number 3, Tesserae, who looks so good earlier in the week on Breeders' Cup week. Irad Ortiz, who was out in Southern California that entire week, rode several horses on the Wednesday and Thursday cards at Del Mar, and he rode Tesserae to victory on that Thursday card at Del Mar, getting the maiden win from well off the pace to win by just about a length, and really didn't even have the cleanest of trips that day. I like the fact that Irad is aboard once again, and although Tesserae is just coming off that maiden win, I don't see any reason that she can't be a major player once again in here. It is an evenly matched field in the Jimmy Durante. From what I've seen, Bob, I don't think there are any gorillas so far in this race. Nobody that you say, well, this one is the one they all have to beat. It looks like they're all just kind of trying to make a name for themselves.
Same. Yeah, couldn't agree with you more.
Okay, so Peter Miller. We like Peter Miller to win the race. I went with number 3, Tesserae. Bob going with number 5, Travel Smart, in the Grade 3 Jimmy Durante Race 7 tomorrow over at Del Mar. Ninth race on the Del Mar card tomorrow is the Grade 1 $400,000 Hollywood Derby. Three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the turf. And before we get into it, by the way, there is a full field of 14 for this race. I love the fact that Del Mar continued the tradition of so many of these old Hollywood Park stakes that used to run during the fall meet at Hollywood Park, and especially during what they used to call the Autumn Turf Festival, which was always right around Thanksgiving time at Hollywood. Whether it was the Hollywood Turf Cup, the Hollywood Derby, the Matriarch, a lot of those big stakes that were, so popular for many, many years were picked up and really didn't lose a step moving down to Del Mar. And kudos to Del Mar and everything they've done for maintaining everything with these old, very famous and very fun Hollywood Park stakes. And the Hollywood Derby is certainly one that's right there at the top of the list. A full field of 14 to go to post, Bob. And morning line favorite is actually 4-1. We heard the call of Subconscious winning the Twilight Derby in his last start for Dick Mandela and Juan Hernandez. That was actually the third win in a row for the son of Tappet. He broke his maiden 3 starts back. He beat Allowance Folks two starts ago and then stepped up against Grade Stakes competition and won very impressively last time out. He's certainly one of the ones, again, doesn't have the greatest of post positions.
Yeah, I like the 7 in here, Flashiest, who's going to be a price. Flashiest has really never run a bad race in his 7-race career. He made the trip to Saratoga. That's the race that you can completely put a line through. Not only did he ship, of course, but he just had a horrendous journey around the first turn. Other than that, he's been excellent. I think Del Mar's his favorite track. He won the Oceanside this summer. If you watch the key race replay of the Twilight Derby, where so many of these competed, he had a pretty difficult trip, gave up a lot of ground, and was still running on, only got beat 2¾. I think he makes up that margin at a big price.
All right, so big price here on number 7, Flashiest, for Leonard Powell, and Abel Cedillo for Bob in the Hollywood Derby. By the way, I misspoke earlier. It mentioned that Subconscious was the morning line favorite. He's actually the second choice on the morning line. Chad Brown's Public Sector, who is riding a three-race win streak of his own, is the morning line favorite. And all three of his wins, Bob, were against graded stakes competition out east. It's very logical that he would be favored in this spot.
I would think so, yeah, making the journey. And I think that they, you know, he's pretty highly regarded.
Very highly regarded, and he's actually only run poorly once in his nine-start career, and unfortunately it was in the biggest race of his life, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year over at Keeneland, and since he was off for about 5 or 6 months after that, presumably something happened to him in the race, but all of his other eight starts were very, very good efforts, and he's a logical favorite in this spot. That being said, you picked a 15-1 morning line shot on top. I'm also going to go with a 15-1 morning line shot on top with number 14 Merchants for Doug O'Neill and Mario Gutierrez. Mario Gutierrez does not ride a lot other than for people named Doug O'Neill, but he rides First Call for Doug O'Neill, rides a lot of his good horses and has done so for many, many years. And he rode Team Merchants last time out to victory in the Let It Ride Stakes at Del Mar, also during Breeders' Cup week. It was on the Thursday of Breeders' Cup week. He came from off the pace to win going away. Nice final time of 1:34.2, and really turned around from what he had done in his lone turf start before that, where he stumbled badly in an allowance sprint at Santa Anita several months before. It looks to me like Team Merchants may actually be a turf horse, and I think the effort he put forth in that restricted Let It Ride Stakes is good enough to make him a major player in this. I really don't even think he needs to improve off that race to have a big chance in this race. I think the reason that he's a big price on the morning line is, one, he's ridden by Mario Gutierrez, who, let's face it, is not the name of Irad Ortiz or Mike Smith or some of these other billboard names. And two, he is coming out of a restricted stake where some of these others are coming out of graded stakes where they actually won the graded stake. So through no fault of Team Merchants of his own, he's a long shot in here. I don't think he should be a long shot. 15-1 is a gift. I think he's got a big chance. Bob and I both trying to light up the board in the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, race 9 tomorrow at Del Mar. I went with number 14, Merchants. Bob going with number 7, Flashiest. They're both 15-1 on the morning line. And all I can say, pal, is good luck to both of us with these long shots.
Well, we'll need it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not like we're trying to beat favorites that look iffy. The favorites look very solid in this race. Public Sector almost never runs a bad race. Subconscious is in great form right now. I think we just both think there's reasons that our long shot selections can run as well as them or maybe better than they've been running in the past.
Yeah, course form is a valuable asset at Del Mar, and we took, you know, two horses here that have an affinity for the surface there at Del Mar. It's a unique one, and hopefully we'll pull off a good number.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll close out the Saturday action with a couple of graded stakes at Churchill. Head back out to Del Mar to start the Sunday action. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Riptide Rock flying down the outside. I think safe conduct narrowly from Riptide Rock and a photo in the Queen's Plate. And Raging Bull, but Daisuke Fukumoto stole this year's Rico Wood by mile with Town Cruise. Walton Street demolishes them. A big winner of the Patterson Canadian International.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 12:55 Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:45 Eastern. With racing now through December 4th and plenty of weekend stakes, you are not going to want to miss out on the action at Woodbine. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Broom and Yabir down to the wire. It is Yabir and William Buick to win the turf. Here comes Dunbar Road. They're coming to the wire. And it is, oh, desperately close. Was it Marsh Lorraine or was it Dunbar Road? Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality. Nick Go, a superstar. The Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
At the top of the stretch, Ugiri draws alongside of Sandstone. Sandstone responds to that challenge and puts the nose back in front. Ugiri's back into second. Sandstone's in front by a length now. Now by two. Ugiri rejected at the eighth pole by Sandstone, who's opening up to the wire. Sandstone in a masterful ride from Brian Hernandez Jr. under the wire to win it by eight. Ugiri checks in second.
Travis Stone on the call of the 2021 Rags to Riches run about a month ago at Churchill Downs, won impressively by the two-year-old filly Sandstone. That was her second straight win. Broke her maiden by nine, won the Rags to Riches by 10, and she is a major player in tomorrow's Grade 2 Goldenrod at Churchill. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich, taking you through 14 races over this Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll head out to Churchill Downs now, Bob, for that Grade 2 Goldenrod. One of four stakes on the Churchill card tomorrow. They've got a 12-race card with the stakes being races 9, 10, 11, and 12. And the 10th race going at 5:27 Eastern time, that Grade 2 Goldenrod for the two-year-old fillies, going for a $400,000 purse, a mile and a 16th on the main track. Field of eight, but two of the fillies really going to dominate in the wagering. Number one, Famed for Brad Cox, the half-sister to Essential Quality, coming off a maiden win last time out, and Sandstone, who blitzed foes twice in a row, coming into the Goldenrod.
Yeah, hard not to be impressed with both of them. Famed was really impressive when she broke her maiden. I think 2-1 in the morning line's wishful thinking, and I think, to be honest with you, 8-5 on Sandstone is also wishful thinking. I think it'll be more like even money and 4-5, and I can't tell you which one's going to be favored. I'm going to go for a major upset here, Bob. I think there's going to be a really torrid pace. I think that both of them might get either sucked up into it or lay too close to it, and I really like, even though she hasn't done anything very quickly yet, she showed some zip in the morning, and of course we always have a query about that with morning works, but a 45-second workout on November 10th for Secret Oath is pretty interesting. 45 flat for the coach, Dwayne Lucas, and I feel some Lucas magic in the air tomorrow. I think she'll be a much bigger price than 15-1. The daughter of Arrowgate, out of a really good race mare called Absinthe Minded. My selection is the 3, Secret Oath.
All right, Secret Oath trying to light up the board once again. Super impressive in her maiden win last time out. It wasn't the fastest running of a mile and a 16th you'll ever see, 146-4, but the way she did it was very, very impressive. And as Bob mentioned, showing some pretty fast works in the morning since that last race. I couldn't get past Sandstone. The only thing that worries me about Sandstone, well, there's two things. I think Famed certainly could be any kind, and maybe she's just going to beat Sandstone. But Sandstone's last race, I think, is far and away better than anyone in this field has run. It's also way better than she had been running, at least in my opinion. And I always worry with the fillies, especially 2- and 3-year-old fillies, when they come off these gigantic efforts that they're not going to regress, or if you want to call it bounce, whatever it is, next time out. If she runs that kind of race again, she's going to win. I'm convinced of it. If she runs close to that race, I think she's probably going to win.
I don't know how, you know, maybe she will get the trip you're thinking and it won't be her day, but I'm not going to get past her. I went with number four, Sandstone. It's not a race that I'm really looking at playing. Bob, on the other hand, going to try to light up the board with number three, Secret Oath, goes as race 10 tomorrow at Churchill, the grade two Goldenrod. 11th race tomorrow at Churchill is the grade two $400,000 male counterpart to the Goldenrod. It's called the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. Mile and a 16th on the main track. We've got a big field of 14 here, Bob, and a few different ways you can go in this race. I was a little bit surprised that the morning line favorite is number six, Tis the Bomb, being that it's really off turf form that he's the morning line favorite. His dirt form doesn't look like he should be favored.
Yeah, I'm not going to be at all surprised if the five, Howling Time, goes off favorite in here, and that's actually my selection. He's run two really good races here. He broke his maiden going six furlongs in September. He came back on Halloween. And the way he finished up in the Street Sense, which is a listed race over course and distance, was really, really, he made a big impression on me. I think he's a horse that really we can look forward to next year, and I think he's going to make quite an impact on the Kentucky Jockey Club.
All right, so Bob going with co-second choice Howling Time on top. I think that horse definitely has a big chance to win as well. I went with the other 7-2 morning line shot, number one, Classic Causeway. He was actually favored despite breaking from the 13 hole in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. Somehow was able to clear the field, make the lead going pretty quick early on, and just simply didn't have enough left and finished third, beaten a little less than five lengths. He looks like he's working fast since that race. He draws the rail, gets Joel Rosario, seems to win every other race he rides at Churchill these days. And to me, it looks like there's not a whole lot of other speed in here. He may be able to just get out and go. So I think Classic Causeway is going to go and see if they can catch him, and maybe it'll be a little bit tougher in the Kentucky Jockey Club. Both of us taking minor shots against the morning line favorite. I went with Classic Causeway. Bob going with number five, Howling Time, in the Kentucky Jockey Club, race 11 tomorrow at Churchill. Let's head back out to Del Mar for some Sunday action. And they've got two big stakes on the Sunday card, starting with race number three, the Grade 3 $100,000 Cecil B. DeMille Stakes. These are two-year-olds going a mile on the turf. We've got a big field of 11 here. Bob, where'd you end up?
These are the boys, and I could not have been more impressed with the 10-horse Verbal, the Judmont Farms homebred trained by Chad Brown, who makes the trip from Belmont out to Del Mar. And in a similar fashion to Howling Time, he just rolled home and really made short work of a group of maidens. The way he did it was visually impressive. Shows some decent workout since, makes the trip out there. I think he means business. My selection is number 10, Verbal.
I agree with everything you just said. I think Verbal is the one to beat. He also comes from off the pace in a race that looks like there's plenty of speed to his inside, and a turf course that has played well to closers throughout history, and this year included. So Verbal for Bob and myself in the Grade 3 Cecil B. DeMille Race 3 on the Sunday card. Want to give a shout-out also to number one, Optimizing. He ran on the Future Stars Friday undercard, that Breeders' Cup Friday undercard in the Cotter Mile going at Del Mar, and looked like he made a winning move and ended up second best, but I thought that was a good field that he faced that day, and he has a better post than Verbal, so it wouldn't be surprising to me if Optimizing ran another good race. But I agree with you, Bob. I think Verbal is a horse with a bright future, and I'm going to put him on top as well. Let's jump forward to race 7 on the Sunday card at Del Mar. This is the featured Grade 1 $400,000 Matriarch for the fillies and mares, going 1 mile on the turf. Strong field of six here, including the defending champ in Chad Brown's Viadera.
Yeah, you've made the point several times. So you don't like horses that run in the Breeders' Cup races and then come back in the following weeks to run in lesser spots. And I think it's a valid point. However, Princess Grace and Zoe Fell, who ran on the Breeders' Cup undercard in the Grade 2 Gold Akova, they could have always had this race in mind, and I think that they both did. Princess Grace has been near flawless in her career. She finished second at Keeneland in the Valley View, and she finished third after reluctantly setting the pace on November 6th in the Gold Akova. It's kind of a similar story here today. This looks like a race where they're going to break from the gate, and it might be sort of a jockey's race to determine who's going to go to the front. I like the fact that Princess Grace has been there before, and I think that she makes amends in this selection. I think Princess Grace for DeSormo and Stidham get the job done.
Okay, so you're going with two fillies exiting the Grade 2 Goldakova. I'm going to go with the two coming out of the Grade 1 First Lady at Keeneland on a good turf course in Viadera and Regal Glory. It's very hard for me to separate these two. I think they're both very capable. I would use them both. I'm going to put Viadera on top because I happen to believe that she is getting a gigantic rider change going from somebody else to a guy named Flavien Prat. She actually has not gotten the best of trips in two of her last three starts. She lost both of those races, but I expect her to get a better trip with Prat. She obviously likes the course. She's won over it in the past. I don't know that she's hands down better than Regal Glory if they both get good trips. I think they're about equal, so I'm going to use them both. But the rider change to Prat is enough for me to put Viadera on top. Viadera for me, Princess Grace for Bob in the seventh race Sunday at Del Mar, the Grade 1 $400,000 Matriarch. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll head back out east. Aqueduct has three stakes on their Sunday docket. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The thrill of thoroughbred racing is back at Laurel Park. The brand new dirt surface and world-class turf course are ready for the races. Spend an afternoon dining with someone special at your choice of restaurants. Grab a bite with friends at the food court or relax and enjoy racing action from around the world in the sports bar. Laurel Park has it all. The beer is cold, the action is hot, and the horses are fast. Nothing beats a day at the track. Live racing Thursday through Sunday, post time, 12:40 p.m.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukie, the Grade 2 Falls City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club, and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else, like In the Room with Sean Clancy, A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, and I Ask, They Answer with Tim Wilkin and Dale Romans. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Robin Sparkles has dropped back here. It is Honey Cake with the lead as they come into the stretch. Go-Go Shoes, and on the outside here is Introduced, and Raven's Cry is coming on, and here's Too Sexy out in the middle of the course as they pass the eighth pole. It is Too Sexy who has swept to the lead, and Too Sexy is drawing away here. Too Sexy wins the Floral Park Stakes, won by 3.5 lengths. Raven's Cry was second. Introduced finished third.
John Imbrial on the call of the October 17th running of the Floral Park Stakes at Belmont Park, won from off the pace impressively by the Christophe Clement trainee Too Sexy. She tries to get back-to-back wins as she goes in the Autumn Days Stakes Sunday at Aqueduct. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Folks, this Thanksgiving weekend, Naira Betts is serving up bonuses for all the best fall and winter horse racing. Action awaits at tracks like Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, Aqueduct, and many more. With Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use the promo code HRRN200 and get in the action today. That's HRRN200, no spaces. Be sure to tune into America's Day at the Races running on FS2 every afternoon through the weekend. The schedule this weekend for America's Day at the Races, FS2 on Saturday from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time till 6:30 p.m. Then Sunday, they kind of ping-pong between FS1 and FS2. FS1 to start 11:30 a.m. to noon, then switch over to FS2 from noon to 4, then back over to FS1 from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Lots of great action all weekend, just as they always have it, on America's Day at the Races. Okay, Bob, three big stakes on the Sunday docket at Aqueduct, and we're going to start with their seventh race. It's the $150,000 Autumn Days Stakes. Fillies and mares here going 6 furlongs on the outer turf. And a field of 8 going to post. A lot of different ways you can go. We heard this stretch call of the Floral Park, won so impressively by 2 Sexy. She's riding a 2-race win streak. She's won 3 of her last 4 starts. But I think this is a tougher field than what she saw last time in the Floral Park.
Yeah, 2 Sexy has had a really beautifully managed career under the care of Christophe Clement. She's always been good. She's always been competitive, and she's very gradually gotten better. She made her stakes debut October 17th, and she couldn't have been more impressive doing it. I think there will be enough pace in here to set up her off-the-pace bid. I look for her to kick home. If she takes to the Aqueduct Turf course in a similar fashion, she's my selection, the 3-2 Sexy.
All right, so taking the hot hand and riding her as long as we can, as it were, for Bob and Stanovich on number 3-2 Sexy. I went to number 2, Love and Thunder, for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz Jr. She's burned a lot of money since coming to the States. She's a filly that I think they always thought was going to be pretty good coming over from Europe. And although she's never run poorly in the States, she's burnt money. She's lost at odds of 6-5, 7-5, 8-5, and 2-1. Finally got the job done against allowance competition at Belmont, going 7 furlongs as a 3-5 shot. Then last time out, stepped up into the Grade 3 Noble Damsel and actually ran a pretty good race. She was only beaten 3.5 lengths that day and didn't have the cleanest of trips that afternoon. I happen to think she'll be better as a late-running sprinter than she is as a router, and I think this is an easier spot than what she saw in the Grade 3 Noble Damsel. So I'm gonna try Love and Thunder to get back to her winning ways. She never runs a bad race. She just doesn't always get the lioness's share. We'll see if that changes in the Autumn Days. Love and Thunder for me, 2 Sexy for Bob, goes as race 7 on the Sunday Aqueduct card. Eighth race Sunday at Aqueduct is one of my favorite races at Aqueduct. The Grade 3, $200,000 fall high weight handicap, 3-year-olds and up, going 6 furlongs on the main track. A field of 8, and as it were, Bob, these horses run with weights that, you know, during our lifetime, we really haven't seen. These are weights that, you know, it was popular to see horses, you know, like Dr. Fager and that, you know, back in the, whether it was the 50s, the 60s, the early 70s, tacking 130 pounds. We never see that these days. But in this race, that's what we see. We see horses carrying somewhere between 126 and 131 pounds. It doesn't affect my handicapping since all of them are carrying the extra weight, but I think it's a fun concept.
Oh, it's an old-school thing. It's throwback. It's been around for a long time, and so many great horses have carried huge impost to victory, and it's pretty cool that Aqueduct still has it. It's part of their stakes calendar.
It is. Every year we get to see this. I wouldn't mind if it was once each racetrack. Like if Saratoga had a race for this, if Belmont had a race for it, if Aqueduct has a race. But as it were, Aqueduct does it once a year. And a lot of speed in this year's fall high weight handicap. Where'd you end up?
One of the more interesting horses racing this weekend is the 2 Green Light Go. Back in July of 2019, he blitzed a maiden field at Belmont. Then he went went on, grabbed a lot of headlines when he blew apart the Saratoga Special, ran into a horse called Tis the Law when second in the Champagne, and then he ran a couple more races where he's third and second, switched from James Jerkins. Keep in mind the owner and breeder here, Stronach Stables, they don't have that many horses in training anymore at all. And so this one went from Jerkins to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and was trained by Jerry Hollendorfer. Didn't run badly at Oaklawn last season. Ran into the likes of Silver State, Rated R Superstar, a lot of really good horses. Then went to Canada to try the artificial surface up there. Didn't run a jump in the Grade 3 Vigil. Has returned. That race was August 1st. Has returned to the Jerkins barn. Mr. Jerkins adds the Blinks, and this one has a string of bullet workouts and seems to be in flying form, and I think Green Light Go will pull a minor upset in the fall highway.
Yeah, I think he'll actually be a major upset if he wins. I don't think they're going to bet this horse. And I like your thinking of this race and trying to beat these speed horses, and this is a horse who may be able to pass other runners. One thing I worry about with Green Light Go is that he has the Arazi sickness. And what I mean by that is the horse peaked at 2. Not that Arazi was sick or something like that. I just happen to think Arazi never improved as a 3-year-old from what we saw as a 2-year-old. And when I see these kind of things, I kind of equate it to him. Now, there's not too many people who are going to equate Green Light Go to Arazi in very many ways. But that's what his career kind of looks like to me. He looks like he's not any faster at 3 or 4 than he was as a 2-year-old. You know, and you'd think that, you know, 90-whatever% of horses, you know, who race at 2, 3, and 4 are faster at 3 and 4 than they are at 2. Not everyone, but most of them. This is a horse that I'm not sure is that way, but maybe Jimmy Jerkins has the touch needed for Green Light Go, because he ran as well for Jerkins, as you mentioned, as he has for anyone else, if not even better. So it wouldn't surprise me. I think one of the more interesting runners.
At least you didn't disagree with every bone in your body.
No. I'm against bourbonic. Literally, it's coming out of my toenails how much I'm against that horse. So you can all laugh if that horse goes rolling by them in the Discovery on Saturday. Yeah. And if I'm involved, all you have to know is I won't be advancing in whatever horizontal wagers I have if he gets the job done. But that being said, I had a tough time with the fall high weight. I know Chateau wants to go to the lead. I think Smooth B wants to be forwardly placed. Hopeful Treasure, Sir Alfred James, Rough Entry, all figure to be forwardly placed. I don't know what to make of number 5, Wendell Fong. He was terrible last time out in the Bold Ruler. He was up close to the pace and, you know, faded like somebody hit him with a brick at the quarter pole. His races earlier this year and last year, I think, are good enough to be right there, if not beat this field, and he would normally enjoy the fast pace in front of him. I just don't know what to make of his last race. You could say, well, it was on a sloppy racetrack. He'd run very well on wet racetracks in the past, so I don't know if that's it. I'm going to take one more chance with Wendell Fong. He just may be completely done, for all I know. But if there is an excuse for that last race, and I don't know if there is, his previous races give him a big chance, and he will enjoy what looks to be a hot pace in the fall high weight. So I'm going to try Wendell Fong. Wendell Fong for me, Green Light Go for Bob in the $200,000 Grade 3 Fall High Weight Handicap, Race 8 on the Sunday card up at the Big A. Ninth race Sunday at Aqueduct is for the 2-year-old fillies, the Teppan Stakes, $100,000 on the line, mile and a 16th on the turf, and we've got a big field of 11 to go to post, Bob.
Yeah, like I said earlier in the show, there's a lot of replays to watch this weekend. One of them's the November 6th Chelsea Flower at Belmont Park. These are 2-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the grass at Belmont that day. And when they came down the stretch, it came down to Mischievous Kiss and Kyroni. I think that Kyroni, the 10, who's 2-1 in the morning line, was flattered by her proximity to Mischievous Kiss. Mischievous Kiss is regally bred. She's out of a really good mare that Carl Pollard himself, Hermitage Farm fame, raced at Churchill in the early 2000s, a graded stakes winner called Kiss the Devil. horse by Into Mischief, this Mischievous Kiss, and I think she's got a bright future, and I think she's going to prove her advantage over Caironi here.
Okay, so Bob likes number 9, Mischievous Kiss, to beat Caironi once again. I thought both of those fillies had a big shot, as well as number 7, Anador, who looked good breaking her maiden in her lone start on this side of the pond. I'm going to use all three of them. I went to Caironi because of the rider change, picking up one of the top jocks in Irad Ortiz Jr. for the first time. You mentioned she was only a half a length behind Mischievous Kiss last time out, and she really didn't get out of the gate very well that day. She was probably a lot further back than she really wants to be. Any horse going from somebody not named Irad Ortiz to Irad Ortiz, 90-whatever percent of the time is a positive rider change. Not always, but most of the time. I would venture a guess there's not too many people out there that don't consider him one of the best riders in the country, if not the best rider. You know, you put him and his brother and Joel Rosario, you know, it's kind of hard to fault guys like that. And
Flavien Prat.
Flavien Prat. You know, when these guys pick up mounts from guys and gals that are not named Pratt or Rosario or Ortiz, more often than not, it's a positive change. And that's happening here with Caironi. So I actually really like the rider who used to ride this horse, but Irad Ortiz is Irad Ortiz. I'm going to put Caironi on top using all three, Caironi, Mischievous Kiss, and Anador in the 9th race Sunday, the Teppan for the 2-year-old fillies on the turf. Okay, Bob, all 14 races in the books. It's time now for the Naira Bets Best Bet.
Yeah, my bet.
Naira Bets Best Bet.
Go ahead, Bob.
I jumped the gun. I forgot about the theme music there. My best bet of the day is in the 11th race on Saturday at Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Jockey Club. I was really mesmerized by the closing kick shown by Howling Time last time in his two-turn debut. I think he goes a step further. I think he goes 3-for-3 lifetime and adds a grade 2 win to his resume at Churchill tomorrow in the 11th race.
All right, I was really worried about this. I thought we were going to be on the same horse for the best bet. I'm glad we're not. Bob going with Howling Time in the Kentucky Jockey Club certainly has a big, big chance in there. I'm going to go to a horse that I know you love as well, and I love him too, and it's on the Sunday card at Del Mar, Race 3, the Grade 3 Cecil B. DeMille. We both really loved what we saw from Chad Brown's verbal in his debut. Came from way out of it to win by 4 lengths, covering the mile in a solid 1:35.2. A lot of pace to run at in the Cecil B. DeMille. Retains really good rider Jose Ortiz, who we know knows how to ride that Del Mar turf course about as good as anybody. I think Verbal, even though he's stepping up in class and facing winners for the first time, gets the job done. Hopefully we can get a square price on Verbal in the Cecil B. DeMille Race 3 on the Sunday card at Del Mar. That's going to wrap up today's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Bets. A reminder, tomorrow, a new edition of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment as Mike Penna previews the Saturday Kentucky Jockey Club and Goldenrod card with Churchill Downs publicity manager Kevin Kirstein. In fact, they go over all 4 stakes on the Saturday card at Churchill. Also going to take a look at Del Mar's Saturday and Sunday graded stakes, bring you a special Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne with longtime Naira Paddock judge Peter Fitzgerald. I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans, turf writer Tim Wilkin, plus Sean Clancy goes in the room with Hall of Fame jockey Lafitte Pinkai Jr. We take a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, bring you today's first bet, and our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. It's a brand-new, action-packed equine forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment tomorrow, 8 to 11 Eastern Time, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, it's been a fun week. It's been a strange week. Thanksgiving week always is. But the fun thing about this is, you know, we're seeing some good friends go as far as Churchill Downs and Del Mar. We're seeing good friends come back into the mix, whether it be Fairgrounds or Tampa or the championship meet at Gulfstream or opening day at Oaklawn Park. Really a fun time to be a fan of horse racing.
Oh, it's amazing that it's just strange to me that Oaklawn's going to kick it into high gear here December 3rd, because they usually have that long gap until until Oak Lawn starts. You have to turn your attention elsewhere, but no, it's pretty cool that they're starting up. When's the championship meet start at Gulfstream?
Championship meet at Gulfstream and opening day at Oak Lawn 1 week from today, next Friday, December 3rd. Cool. So all the action going to be piled on us, and really looking forward to it. That's going to wrap it up today for our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovic. I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Stick around. Tomorrow, the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on HRRN from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time.